The Reading Room. On entering the reading room, we have the impression we are coming into a church or cathedral with its high vaulted ceiling, its arches, its long central section like an aisle, its large stained glass windows either end. We turn to the left on entering and pass several display cases on our right. In the cases is information about the history of the library and its collections, and within the sides of the wooden bases of the cases are bookshelves for oversized books, at least half a metre tall. We will be directed to the rows of seats either side of the central aisle. There are three rows of chairs on the dark red carpet runners. Each has around 24 seats and the audience numbers around 180. They face in towards the centre, so they're opposite each other. The front row is of folding modern seats. The row behind is carved wooden chairs with railed backs, and the chairs in the back row are high modern seats. We recommend that you sit in the front row in the centre. The stage or performance area is the narrow strip of parquet floor in the centre. As we wait for the reading to begin, we can take in more of our grand surroundings. Behind us, to either side, are alcoves or small reading rooms designated by sandstone arches. These are lined with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves, and each is illuminated by a low-hanging lamp. The arches which line the sides of the central aisle bear wrought iron sconces or lamp holders, each containing a cluster of small glowing bulbs. Above the pillars which form the arches are statues of key figures in the world of arts, science and letters, including Francis Bacon, Goethe, Shakespeare, Newton, and Wesley, amongst others. To our left and our right at the very ends of the room are the huge, arched, stained glass windows. These depict religious and secular figures. To one end of the central aisle, the furthest end from the entrance, is a tall, white marble statue standing on a darker marble plinth. This shows the industrialist and philanthropist John Rylands, a Victorian gentleman with thinning curly hair, a trimmed beard, wearing a frock coat, shirt and tie, and formal trousers and shoes. He leans his left hand against a rectangular marble block on which there are carvings and also a couple of sheets of paper, made from white marble, of course. He stands tall, a pen in his right hand, as if looking out and surveying the space and us, his visitors. Behind the statue are various large bookcases with sloping tops, like lecterns. At the opposite end of the room, under a matching stained glass window, is a white marble statue of Henri Quetta, perhaps meeting the gaze of her husband. She is shown in middle age, her hair gathered onto the top of her head, her hands clasped. She wears a gown with a frilled collar, full sleeves, and a long train. As the sun sets, its fading light casts a glow across the jewel-coloured decorative panes here. It is towards this window that Maxine Peake looks when she mentions looking at a canvas or a painting. Above our heads as we sit is a gallery with an ornately carved stone balustrade. Small reading rooms are found in alcoves here, similar to those below. On the outside walls of the room are arched windows filled with small round panes of thick glass, like the bottom of a bottle. These diffuse the light, which comes in from outside. The room is further lit by rows of small spotlights on this upper level, which cast a soft light onto the high vaulted ceiling above.